Episode 15, Cloud Computing.
One of the most significant changes faced by information technology professionals in schools and in other organizations recently has been the widespread adoption of cloud-based data and productivity systems. Whereas previous generations of IT professionals configured servers that were physically located on campus to provide necessary services like file storage and print management, and they installed applications on those hard drives and on the hard drives of individual computers, current generations often configure virtual servers and manage user accounts that are on these cloud-based systems. Schools make significant use of software as a service, or SaaS, tools for productivity purposes, for educational activities, and for business services. Google Workspaces is the dominant example of software as a service that we find in schools, but other educational tools, such as the Student Information System and the Library Card Catalog, as well as business services, such as your accounting system, are also provided by SaaS providers. There are other instances in which schools will contract with vendors such as Amazon Web Services or AWS to provide highly configurable systems that can be used to replicate many of the same functions that used to be configured on physical servers. Some of these services are referred to as Platform as a Service, or PaaS. For example, AWS allows subscribers to deploy databases on platforms that they host. AWS provides and manages the operating system and the database engine, so the subscribers are only responsible for building and managing their database. Schools and other subscribers can also purchase access to highly configurable services that are in the cloud. These resemble the physical servers in traditional data centers, as they can be assigned private internet protocol addresses so they can be accessed only by internal users, just like your local area network, or they can be made public, like your website. This type of technology is commonly called Infrastructure as a Service, or IaaS, and it requires the most maintenance and configuration, and the user or the subscriber must have their own licenses for applications that are installed on these virtual servers. All of these can accurately be labeled cloud-based, as the virtual location is clear, but the physical location of these systems is not. In fact, many of these systems are replicated in multiple data centers across the globe. In general, we recognize four benefits of using software, platform, or infrastructure as a service models for providing our IT infrastructure. First, security. Cloud providers employ legions of security professionals to protect their data centers, and we share responsibility for securing the other systems. When using software as a service, the provider secures the operating system and the applications. When using platform as a service, the provider secures the operating system and we secure the applications and our data. When using infrastructure as a service, the provider secures the servers and we secure everything else. Second, scalability. System administrators can log on to their administrative dashboard of a cloud-based platform and request additional capacity, which is usually available within minutes. That additional capacity does, of course, increase our fees, but the systems are provisioned very quickly and without capital expense. Third, redundancy. The data and systems that are stored on cloud-based systems can be easily duplicated. Depending on the exact configuration, systems can be copied with just a few mouse clicks. This allows both duplicate services and automated backups. As a result, essential systems can be restored immediately if any service is interrupted. Fourth, minimizing capital expenses. Data centers are very expensive to build, maintain, and secure. These expenses can be larger than we anticipate because it's always necessary to build extra capacity into the system. We like to make them future-proof. Plus, it's necessary to provide air conditioning, janitorial services, and other supports to ensure the servers operate as expected. When using cloud-based systems, IT professionals can spin up servers without the need to purchase, unpack, configure, or protect additional hardware. While cloud systems do remove hardware from school data centers, the system administrators employed by schools do continue to manage users and applications. Among the most important responsibilities is user management. Typically, the users in a school are grouped into organizational units, which has been the standard practice for generations of school IT administrators. And the schools want to ensure that only current students, faculty, and staff can access the systems. They also identify the tools and features that are available to the different organizational units they manage. Cloud-based systems are built on very sophisticated databases. School IT professionals are often involved with managing the interoperability of different systems. For example, they may manage a learning management system that is connected to a student information system so that grades are reported in the LMS that hosts the virtual classrooms are automatically sent to the student information system. This does require the participation of programmers from the vendors, as the data must be accurately mapped to ensure interoperability. But once these connections have been established, local administrators can manage them. From the user's perspective, using a cloud-based system is not unlike using files and applications that are installed on the local hard drive or a local area network. The difference, of course, is that all cloud-based computing starts with the web browser. When using cloud-based systems, the workflow is the same for all users. First, connect to the internet. Cloud-based systems are available on every device that is connected to the internet. Second, point your web browser to the URL of the platform. Most schools provide a portal or web page where students, faculty, and staff, and others can find links to the cloud platforms they support. This facilitates users finding the exact links they need to the network locations of their cloud systems. These can vary depending on how the school's web domain is configured and how the vendor permits naming. That's why we use portals. One of the potential challenges for users of cloud systems is that different web browsers, things like Google Chrome, Firefox, Microsoft Edge, Safari, handle the code used to create cloud-based systems differently. This means systems may function differently on different web browsers, and some services may even fail on certain web browsers. When connecting to a cloud system using the web browser on a mobile device, some users find that not all the features work. That's why many providers of cloud platforms offer apps that allow full functionality on mobile devices. Once users get to the correct URL, they log on to the cloud. Access to cloud platforms requires you to have an account on that platform. System administrators have several options for managing users. They can create or manage users one at a time, or they can do a batch upload in which the information for multiple users is uploaded in a single spreadsheet or CSV file. Most system administrators opt for one of many single sign-on options. This allows the system administrator to manage a single database of users and then use that database to connect to and to sign on to multiple systems. Because Google Workspace is so widely used, many system administrators will create customer keys and shared secrets, that's actually what they're called, so that the students, faculty, and staff can use their Google Workspace's credentials to log on to other platforms. Once they have authenticated themselves, users have access to the data and the tools that they have been authorized to use. One of the most interesting tools, at least to me, for the users of cloud-based computing systems is the ability to spin up virtual desktops. This will find the user pointing their web browser to the URL, logging on, and then having access to a virtual desktop computer that's out on the web. When they use this system, they have access to a real computer with an operating system and full applications that can be accessed through any web browser. This is a fantastic way to give users access to a full operating system when they might not have one available otherwise. Consider the student who's learning how to create Access databases. That application is not available to users of Macintosh or those who are using Chromebooks or other mobile devices to access their education. but when they connect to a virtual desktop, they can have access to a Windows operating system and access right in their web browser. Cloud computing has refocused the work of network administrators. We no longer spend our time ordering, unpacking, and provisioning servers. We do spend lots of time managing users, and we spend lots of time securing our systems, and we spend lots of time ensuring that different systems are integrated for our users. But these systems do tend to increase access to our IT systems as long as folks have a connection to the internet.